Now, I'd like to say that I'm glad to be here tonight in the service, feel the presence of the Lord, and know that God is interested in His people. Know that God is doing a great thing. I don't know how many of you really believe that God's doing a great thing,
amen,
but God is doing a great thing.
Amen.
Jesus let us know that God was doing a great thing when He was here on earth. And if you can see it, God is still doing a great thing. When Brother Taylor makes mention of the things that God is doing, Bethlehem and these other things, I'm sure that some of you don't know and some of you don't understand Revelation enough to know just exactly what's happening. And if you did, though you knew, or that is, though you might hear somebody expound this, you still wouldn't understand it. Because though you hear it as far as vocal utterance, yet God has to quicken it to you before you can see it. Before it becomes the revelation of Christ. And I am of the opinion that one of the great troubles with the church is that they are overconfident, Brother Adam. They are so sure that they see what they do not see, and that they hear what they do not hear, and they are where they really are not, that they fail to ever try to hear what they need to hear, or try to see what they need to see, or try to move up to where they ought to be. I believe this is the trouble with the church. And you say, Brother Pike, is that Bible? He said the last church age would be a lukewarm, Laodicean church age that would say that we have need for nothing. Is that right? I'd hate to get in the place to where I felt that I didn't have a need to move up and didn't have a need for God. And really, when we get in this kind of condition, well, then we certainly are blind, wretched, naked, and all these other things. We really are then, because whether we see it or not, the people around us see it. The people see it. We might not see it, but the people see it. Others can see our errors and mistakes a lot better than you and I can see them. Is that right? The wife thinks she's doing all right, but the husband is watching her mistakes. Is that right? The husband thinks he's doing all right, but the wife is watching his mistakes. And both of them feel like they're right, but the children's watching all of them's mistakes. Is that right? So then you see, we have need to move up. Praise God. I love to let the Lord have His way. We sang the song, Let Go, and let God have His wonderful way. And that's what we need to do, is not make believe, but believe. Not make believe, but believe. We should believe. Now, I want to read a little bit tonight out of the book of St. Mark in the 11th chapter. And I may refer over to Peter's writings also tonight in just a little exhortation. 11:22 or along in this area, I'd like to read tonight in the 11th chapter of Mark. Now, I want to say again that we're planning to take a trip around the world. I want to find out how many has faith to believe that we're going to make a trip. Now, don't make believe. If you really believe in your heart we're going, I want you to raise your hand. All right? Now, that's wonderful. I'm glad to know there's that many of them that really, truly believe that we're going to make a trip around the world. I'm going to give Brother Taylor a chance a little bit later to find out how many of them would like to have a part in it. And if you want to have a part in it, you can have a part in it. It'll be a while yet before we even try to go, though I believe in my heart it could go right now. I've got that kind of faith in God. But I feel that I should wait because we've got a lot of expense and I want to see the top on the sanctuary before I go. And by the grace of God, I am going to see the top on the sanctuary. You might not believe me when I say that I could go right now, but I do believe I could go right now. I'm sure in my heart I could. I got that kind of faith in God. Now, I praise God for that faith because that's not make-believe. Like I told Sister Betty when we were stranded in the Idaho mountains many years ago and the snow was wrapping us up and the gas was giving out and no place to go. I said, Betty, I thank God that I've not been making believe. I really believe. And I said, if we ever needed to really believe, we better believe now. But I praise God that at that time, when the crisis was upon me, my wife, and my children, my faith did not fail me. My heart was clean and pure before God, and I thank God for it, and I was able, Brother John, to sincerely, from my heart, believe.
Amen.
That's right. And it worked. It worked. Praise God. So I praise God for that. And those that have want to stand with us in it, you can. We're not asking you for an offering because we're going by faith. Now, we're going to make a trip, and you may have already had a part in winning souls in the foreign countries or preaching the gospel there. You might have already been there. You might have already had a part in it and in somebody else's ministry. But if you haven't, well, if you want to go, well, I'll have a part in your ministry if you want to go. If you don't want to go, well, then you can have a part in mine if you'd like to have a part in it. It don't make any difference with me which way it goes, just as long as we get the gospel out. So then, if you got faith enough to go, well, you just step up and tell me and see if I don't stand behind you. That's all I ask you to do. All right? In the book of St. Mark, in the 11th chapter, I want to read just a little bit. The 10th verse, blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat food of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seat of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, it's easy to see here that we've got more to do than just to believe. I want to read just one verse or so out of the book of Peter in the 3rd chapter, 1 Peter, to make a connection here tonight with this that we just read. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that that's reading a good little bit of Scripture, I like to take the Bible and read a good bit of Scripture, because as I've said so many times, some people never read the Bible, or that is, hear the Bible read, until they go to the house of God. So I like to take a little time to read it to them, to read the Scriptures. That's the purpose, is for reading the Scriptures. Jesus would stand up in the synagogues and read the Scriptures and then show how that God was fulfilling the Scriptures. Now, a great Scripture to me, though all of them are very great, but one outstanding Scripture to me in the Bible that really captures my admiration is St. Mark, the 11th chapter, in the 22nd verse, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. As most of you know, that this was immediately after that Jesus had cursed the fig tree, and that he was on his way up to Bethany, and there he cursed the fig tree because he sought fruit, and there was no fruit to be found upon the fig tree. And so then Jesus cursed the fig tree because it brought forth no fruit. Paul says in his writings in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I believe it is, he tells us in his writings that we are nigh unto cursing if we fail to do the things that God wants us to do. He said, when you bring forth briars, and when you bring forth that which is unseemingly in the sight of God, he said, then these are nigh unto cursing. And so then Jesus here cursing the fig tree, because it brought forth no fruit, Peter looked at this and he was amazed to know that the words of the Lord Jesus came to pass so quickly. So very quickly, Brother Taylor, the words of Jesus came to pass. Jesus cursed the fig tree because there was no fruit to be found upon the tree. And Peter, noticing the thing that was said and watching the Lord Jesus, then Peter saw the words that the Lord said come to pass. I believe that this is what makes a great man of God, Brother Tom, is that he carefully observes the preaching of the Word. It doesn't matter who preaches the Word. It doesn't matter who reads the Bible. He carefully listens to the Word of God and the preaching of the Word that he might have faith in God. Here the Word is expounded and the Word begins to go forth, and the results of the faith of the Word is seen as the tree begins to wither up. The same Peter that was so amazed, the same Peter that came to Jesus and spoke to him and told him that the tree was dried up from the roots, the same Peter later walked on the water. The same Peter raised the dead. The same Peter walked along a wall or in a place to where his shadow could fall upon people, and people was delivered from their sicknesses and from their diseases. Why? Because Peter observed the Word. Hallelujah. He believed in the Word. Jesus said to him, Peter came by and said, Jesus, this fig tree is dried up right from the roots. And Jesus said, Peter, have faith in God. Amen. He said, have faith in God. You say, Brother Pat, I've heard that before, but have you ever tried to do it? The Bible said not to be a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And the word tells us here to have faith in God. You say, how can I be a doer of the word? Do what it tells you to do, and the word tells you to have faith in God. If you can have faith in God, I tell you, there's nothing that God won't do for you. If you can have faith in God, Jesus Christ will do anything for you. You know, my heart thrills because of the knowledge of God that He's placed in my heart. I wouldn't trade the knowledge that God has given me of the Word of God for all the fame, the popularity, and all the things of the world heap upon me. My heart rejoices because I know His Word. Hallelujah. David said, His Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I found His Word dear to my heart, and this thing that I place down in here, it gives me joy unspeakable, and it's full of glory. Tonight, as I read the pages of the Bible, and I look upon Mark 11:22, and I see where Jesus tells me to have faith in God, I know why He said to have faith in God. I have the knowledge of God within my heart, and I know why He said to have faith in God. Just to tell us to have faith in God, my brother, would be of no benefit to us if there wasn't some reason behind it. There was something behind what Jesus said. And I praise God tonight because I know why that Jesus said to have faith in God. And I know why that it will work if we have faith in God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's why that Solomon said to follow the wisdom of God. He said, for if ye shall seek the wisdom of God and call it thy near kinsman, he said, and love it and bind it as a necklace about thy neck, he said, it will bring you long life. It will bring you riches. It will bring you the favor of God. Hallelujah. It will bring you the life that you need so much, eternal life, if you have faith in God. David said, Lord, I know more than all of my teachers. I understand better, David said, than the teachers or the ancient men or the elders that are around me, because I esteem thy word to be right, and I count all of thy precepts to be right. Hallelujah. And he said, thy word has become a lamp unto my feet. Hallelujah. And he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I believe God tonight. I believe God. I've got faith tonight in the Word of God. I believe in the Word of God. It's real to me. God is quickening His Word to me, and it's real to me, and I believe in it tonight. Hallelujah. So then, if you've got faith tonight in the Word of God, my brother, if you've got faith tonight in the Word of God, my sister, then God can do something for you. But if you don't have faith in the Word of God, you will never excel in God. Now, you say, but Brother Pike, I prayed. That's good. I'm glad that you prayed. I prayed too. You say, but I fasted, Brother Pike. That's good. I'm glad you fasted because I fasted too. You say, I've come to church. Well, that's good. I've been to church too. Now, I've given the offering, you say. I give to the poor. Oh, that's good. I've done that too. But Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. My brother and my sister, you are justified by faith. I preach works with all of my heart. I believe in works. And I preach works to you every day that I come into this tent to preach to you. I remind you of works. I always tell you your obligation to God. But I never want you to misunderstand what I'm saying.
The Bible said, let him that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let him try or let him keep good works before God. But brother, it's not going to be the good works that will save your soul. It's not going to be the good things that you do that's going to take you to heaven. But it's going to be having faith in God that's going to do it. You're going to have faith in the living God. If you ever expect to get God's best, you're going to have faith. Peter here talking to the Lord, he said, Lord, this tree has withered up. Jesus told Peter a secret. He said, Peter, have faith in God. Have faith in God. He said, I say unto you that whosoever can believe in his heart and not doubt that this man will have anything that he says. If this man can believe it, Jesus said, let this man say what he will, and it will come to pass. Amen. Just this much alone ought to make us want to believe in God. Brothers and sisters alike can have faith in God. Hallelujah. Just to believe in God. Just to believe in God. I remember in the Old Testament when God's word went out and told a certain man to go to battle, and he would give the enemy into his hand. The man refused to go to battle. He couldn't have faith in God. He couldn't believe what God said. And a woman stepped up, and the woman, the prophetess, said, I'll go. I've got faith in God. I believe that God said it. I believe it will be just that way. And God gave her the victory when the man failed to go to battle. God is no respecter of person. We can have faith in God. And Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Hallelujah. In my name, he said, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. When you feel that God thinks more of one than he does another, that is a lying spirit that's got hold of your thoughts. And you should never do that. You say, who does God think the most of? You. I said, he thinks the most of you. Amen. You say, who is you? The body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. You say, well, won't God give somebody some things and won't give other people those things? Absolutely not. The Bible doesn't teach that, but the Bible said, all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. I've given you all things, Peter said, that pertain unto life. And without respect to person, he said, all that I have is yours. Everything that I have belongs to you. Amen. So then it's up to us to take it. You say, is that really Bible? Then line upon line and precept upon precept, he says right here, ask what you will in my name and I will do it. He did not say, Peter, if you can do it. He didn't say, James, if you do it. He didn't say, if Paul could do it or Elijah could do it. But he said, if anyone can believe. If anyone, he said, I say unto you that whosoever, we sang the little song, whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever, he said, can believe and not doubt in his heart, this man shall have whatsoever he saith. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is no respecter of person. He said, what I say unto one, I say unto all. That's right. If you can ask anything, he said, in my name, I will do it. Somebody says, I wished I could believe that. Why don't you believe it? Amen. You say, Brother Pike, I just can't believe that. Well, you're going to die and go to hell. You say, I wish I could believe that, Brother Pike. I said, if you don't believe it, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to die and go to hell. My brother and sister, it's not a matter of whether you can believe it or whether you may believe it or whether you'll try to believe it. You've got to believe it. Amen. Amen. If you ever make it into the kingdom of God, the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is and believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've got to believe it. You've got to have faith in God if you ever make the translation. A lot of people, as Brother Robert so wonderfully stated one time, and I believe it, many years ago when he was on the battlefield for God and really doing something, I recall a statement that he made, and I was in favor with it because I felt the same way myself. He said, some people are just too lazy to believe God. Some people are just too self-satisfied in the condition that they're in to make a special effort to believe God. They're too well pleased with themselves. They're too well pleased with the things that they're doing. They're too well pleased with the way that God has blessed them financially and otherwise to really try to believe God. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm not a preacher. My brother, you don't have to be a preacher. My sister, you don't have to be a preacher. That's the trouble with the world today. Everybody believes they're a preacher. Everybody's got to preach from junior to grandma. They feel like they're called into the ministry. But God doesn't want that. God wants faith. Amen. That's what he wants. He's not looking for a bunch of preachers. He's looking for a bunch of laborers. Amen. There was preachers back in that day, Brother Bob. The place was full of preachers. He said the rabbis love the greetings of the marketplace and the salutations and love to be called of men rabbi. They still love it today. They still want to be called the prophet. They still want to be called the evangelist. They still want to be called the pastor. They still want to be called of men rabbi. That is superior. To feel that they're superior to you and that you ought to humble down to them. They still like those kind of things today. That's the mind of the devil. But I praise God because Jesus was made like unto his brethren in all things. I emphasized it this morning that when Jesus came with his ministry, that he said, give me a wash pan and let me wash your feet. Hallelujah! You say, what was he doing by the pot? He was beginning his great ministry. Hallelujah. For he said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister unto others. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I said, he said, he came to minister unto others and to give his life a ransom for them that was without. Hallelujah. And so then, Jesus said, whatever I say to one, I say unto all of you. Amen. Did you know tonight you can have your healing? You can be saved tonight from the evils of this world. The Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on the earth. You don't have to be sick in your body. I said you don't have to be sick in your body. You can be healthy and you can be strong in your body if you want to be, if you desire to be, if you put forth a little effort to be. But my brother and my sister, is one thing that you'll never be able to do. You'll never be able to take your condition and ride it for a hobby horse to get your wife's sympathy every time something goes wrong, or to get the brethren's sympathy every time you're too lazy to work. You'll never be able to be healed as long as you ride your condition for a hobby horse and use it for your convenience, because when you do it, my brother and sister, this means that you're in unbelief. The very minute that you start thinking like that, that's that mind of evil and that's the mind of unbelief. You've got to believe that it's gone. You've got to want it to go. You've got to do away with it. And you've got to quit using it for a hobby horse to ride it home to get the sympathy of the family. Amen. Now then, Jesus teaches that we can be healed. I'm glad tonight because I understand the Lord Jesus. I understand his ways. Sometimes people come to me and they say, I don't understand. I don't know. You know why? Because you don't take enough time to try to understand. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I just can't understand. There can be only one answer, and that's the Bible answer. And what is the Bible answer? He said, seek and ye shall find. You never saw it. That's why you never found it, is because you never saw it, my brother, nor my sister. But if you'd have sought it, you would have found it. For he said, everyone that knocketh, to them it shall be opened. Everyone that asketh, Jesus said that he would give it unto them. Everyone that seeketh, he said, shall find. Hallelujah. So then Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Peter said it's the clear conscience that really does the job. It's the clear conscience. Somebody said, how can I have faith in God, Brother Pike? You can't have faith in God until you purify your heart. The Bible said, cleanse your heart, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So then how can you have faith? The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If tonight I preach to you and you feel real spiritual and you want to do something for God, and as quick as you get out from under the tent and you go home, your belly begins to crave of you, or the flesh begins to desire of you, or the carnal mind begins to inspire you to want something for the flesh, and then you change back over to the flesh. Are you not double-minded? And the Bible said, if this be so, then you're unstable in all of your ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. Is that right? Now then, this same Peter that I'm speaking of here said a clear conscience would do it. He said that this same Jesus that I saw him preach, the same Jesus that spoke to the fig tree and made it drop, he said the same Jesus went into the heart of the earth and preached to the souls in prison. Amen. The same Peter that wrote the epistle said he went into the heart of the earth. What is the case of double-mindedness? Peter was one to know. I said Peter spoke of it, and he was one to know. How was he one to know? Because he had walked on the water 1 minute and was drowning the next minute. I made the statement the other night that we can have people sitting under this tent that's got faith to raise the dead, but because they're double-minded, they can't receive anything of God. And yet they've got faith to raise the dead. If they just get right with God and just do the right thing, then faith in their heart would do great and mighty things for God. Bible said that Stephen was full of faith. Is that right? But he was also full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. So then Peter said that this same Jesus that went to preach to the souls in prison was the one that cursed the fig tree. If we'll have a clear conscience, he said it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. He said this is not what saves us. So then you say, Brother Pike, why should I worry about putting away the filth of the flesh? Because it's putting away the filth of the flesh that gives you a pure heart, and out of that pure heart you can believe God, and it's faith in God that saves you from your evils and from your iniquities and from death. The Bible said this Jesus went down into the heart of the earth and he preached to the souls in prison. That's right. Preached to the souls in prison. Before Jesus Christ died at Calvary and was resurrected, prior to that time, the people that died, that was buried in the earth, could not escape the bondage of the grave. They had to be kept in a place that was in the earth. Now then, we know that hell from beneath, we know that hell is in the heart of the earth, we know that it's down beneath, that the Bible said hell from beneath has moved for to meet thee at thy coming, and enlarged itself without measure. Scientists have learned that there's a ball of fire in the heart of the earth. They also learned that it's melting its way out, and that the rock casings around it is being swallowed up by the giant every day. Why? Because the Bible said hell from beneath hath enlarged itself without measure. Amen. And so then it is moving up. The Bible said that the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. Is that right? Seeing Lazarus of fire in Abraham's bosom, and there was a great impassable gulf that was between them. No one could see the other and talk to the other. They could not pass across the great gulf. That proves to me, my brother and my sister, that death isn't the end of things. I said that proves to me that after you close your eyes in death, that you're still going to be awake somewhere. You say that the Bible said the dead know not anything. That's right. As far as the dead body, it's dead and in the grave. But the Bible said at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Amen. And Abraham, he had died and he was buried, but the Bible said he talked with the rich man. The rich man died by the Bible, he was in hell, but the Bible said the rich man talked with Abraham. There's conversations, my beloved friend, that goes on beyond the grave. There's conversations that go on beyond the grave. But nobody could escape that place until the Lord Jesus Christ went into the heart of the earth and preached to the souls in prison. Amen. So then, according to the Bible, when the Lord came, when he came, he was crucified. He went into the heart of the earth. Why did he go? Because though the promise was made to Abraham to our benefit, yet the Bible said when Peter stood at Pentecost, at the time of the fulfillment of the promise, he said, brethren, this is that the prophet Joel spoke of. He said, for this is the promise, he said. Amen. He said, this is the promise that's unto you and your children, to all that shall fall, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He said, this is the promise. Amen. He stood there and he said that God, having something that was better for us, that those that died under the law, not having received the promise, these could not be made perfect without us. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, why didn't he rapture the church back there? If Elijah could go to heaven and if Enoch could go to heaven, Moses could go to heaven, why didn't he rapture the church back there? Because the church has to be perfect, without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish, and they could not be made perfect without us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So then when Jesus died at Calvary, he went into the heart of the earth to get the saints of God. Why? So that he could perfect forever them that were sanctified. So he could make us perfect, hallelujah, by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, sanctified once and for all, and perfected forever, hallelujah. God perfected us by the blood of our Savior. He perfected us by Calvary. Now then, can we be healed? Are we free of sickness? My brother and my sister, if we are not perfect, then we are not free from sickness. If we are free from sickness, then that means that we've got to be perfect. If we are free from sickness, then we've got to be perfect. If we are not perfect, then we are not free from sickness. If ye are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and members in particular, then you've got to be perfect because he was without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Amen. So then if you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are not a sick body, because the Bible teaches that when God raised him from the dead, that death could have no more power over him. Before that he went to the grave, he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. But Brother John, when he went to the grave, after that he died, and after that he was resurrected, then he had the power over sickness, had the power over hell, he had the power over death, and he walked triumphantly and victoriously right into the presence of the Almighty God. What is it? When God placed Adam under the curse and told him he was under the curse, death pursued and death followed after, and men were swallowed up in death and heartaches and sicknesses and sorrows. It was death. Somebody said, well, the Bible said that neither this man nor his parents has sinned that he is sick. So then they say that sin doesn't cause sickness. But that wasn't what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say the sickness wasn't caused by sin, because he knew that all sickness was caused by the sin of Eve in the garden. But he said neither this person nor the parents, but he was the God that visited the iniquities of the fathers down upon the children to the third and to the fourth generation. Is that right? So then he did not say that sin didn't cause it, but he said this has been suffered for the glory of God. Why did God let Eve and Adam fall from the garden? For the glory of God. It was for the glory of God. That's why he did it. But listen, when Jesus came, even though men had been placed under the powers of sickness and evil, when Jesus came and was crucified and was resurrected from the dead, that was the day that Jesus done away with all of the sickness. That was the day that he done away with all of the evils. That was the day that he conquered death. That was the day that he became the great victorian over everything, hallelujah, for the church, that they might not have to go through those things. Where is death swallowed up in victory? Where is death? The Bible said he hath abolished within his body death. He hath destroyed him, the Bible said, that had power or the death. You say, but it's appointed a man once to die. The Bible said God looked down from heaven and heard the groaning of the prisoners and used them that was appointed on the death. For he heard them in a town accepted, and he secured them which was at Calvary. So then where is the curse? The Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And God made Jesus the curse. God hanged Jesus on the tree that we might escape the curse, my brother and my sister. Amen. Where is the curse? It's taken away with Jesus. It's taken away with Jesus. Where is the sickness? It's taken away with Jesus. Where is death? It's taken away with Jesus. How? Because he was the resurrected Christ. And if we are the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we've conquered death. Then we've conquered sickness. Then we've conquered heartaches. Then we've conquered sorrows. You still have, Brother Pike, by having faith in God. Amen. That's what he said, have faith in God. By having faith in God. That's where it's at, is by having faith in God. How do I know that I've conquered sickness? By faith in God. The Bible said, by his stripes I was healed. I was healed where? By his stripes. I was healed by his stripes. How? Because God wrought it in Christ, hallelujah, in the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was, and manifested in the latter times at Calvary. By his stripes I have been healed. I have been healed by his stripes. Therefore, there is no such thing as sickness to the church, my beloved brother and sister. The curse came to Calvary. The curse came to Calvary. Paul said, by Adam, the first man Adam, there came sin, corruption, sickness, and death upon all the world. He said, but as it came to one man, so came life by man also. If death came to man, then he said, man's got the power to bring life. Amen, to give life. And so then, he said, by Jesus Christ, the one man came life. Came life. If sin under condemnation and death come by Adam upon all people, then he tells us that by Jesus Christ comes life and immortality. Hallelujah, by Jesus Christ tonight, we have life and immortality. Ever since Calvary, death has been swallowed up. Ever since Calvary, there's been no more sorrows and no more heartaches for the church if we could just have faith in God. Why did Jesus say, have faith in God, and you can have anything you want? Because he said, beloved, all things are yours. Isn't it right for me to have what is mine? Isn't it Bible that whatever is mine, it's lawful for me to do what I will with it? That means I can have it whenever I get ready. And Jesus said, all things are yours. Is it any wonder that Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you? When he said, everything is yours. I got a right to have it. I said, I got a right to have my request because he's already given me all things that pertain unto life in Christ Jesus. Is that right? He's given me all things that pertain unto life in Christ Jesus. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. There is no sickness, there is no sorrow, and there is no death to a believer. If you can believe this, then you pass from death unto life. That's right, and you'll never come into condemnation. That's right, for God translated Enoch by faith. Is that right? The Bible said that he translated Enoch by faith that he should not see death. He was translated by faith. He should not see death, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. God broke the appointment with death. He loosed the prisoners, Peter said. He went down into the heart of the earth and loosed those that was in prison down there and set those free from that prison that had them down there. The Bible said God heard the groaning of the prisoners and loosed them that was appointed unto death. I want to tell you something today. Those people across the world, their spirits are in a prison today. Their spirits are in a prison today. Jesus, in his preaching, when he came before he died at Calvary, he spoke of loosening those that was in prison. He said, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For it anointed me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and to loose those that are in prison. To loose those that are in prison. My friend, your spirit is in a bodily prison until Jesus Christ comes and breaks the bars of that prison to set your soul free. Your spirit
is in a prison until Jesus Christ, the Word. For the Bible said he sent his Word and he healed them. It's faith in the Word of God. It's faith in God the Word. It is faith in God the Word that heals you. For he sent his knowledge and healed them. I said the Bible states that God sent his knowledge and he healed them, and said the reason they was perishing to begin with was because they did not have his knowledge. Amen. That's why the devil did them like that to begin with, is because they did not have his knowledge. For he said, my people perish from the lack of knowledge. Not knowing their benefits in God. Not knowing their rights in God. Not understanding their liberties in Christ and what they have a right to. Therefore, they're perishing at the hand of Satan as he energizes their mind and their thoughts with thoughts of defeat. And thoughts of trouble, and thoughts of perplexities, and thoughts of sorrows. That's right. I made mention of it here one night. And I want to revive your thoughts in this. Peter said, though you know these things, I feel it meet to step your pure mind as long as I'm in this tabernacle. There is three kind of minds that I know of. One of those minds is a satanic mind of evil. That genders discord, division, sorrow, hatred, malice, covetousness, lust, despite all of these things such as resentfulness, stubbornness, and rebellion, and all of these other evil things. That's the satanic mind of Satan. And when that mind has control of you, it will be a self-exhortation to dig a pit for you to fall into, my brother and my sister. And then there is a mind of humanity. And that mind is a mind of necessity that doesn't know anything but the thoughts of trees and brooks and rivers and plants and seed and children and husband and wife and all of these things that are natural. That's the mind of man. And then there is the mind of God. And the thoughts of that mind is peace, joy, happiness, meekness, long-suffering. All of these wonderful things are the mind of our Lord Jesus. And this mind of necessity, which is just the mind of man that's acquainted with the natural surroundings of creation just for the purpose of his survival, this mind is caught in between these two great minds, one of evil and one of good. And both of them are wrestling to intermingle with that mind of man that they might be the master and rule in that temple and control the earth and all the government and all the creation of it. The battle is on between the body and the soul, a continual warfare. And one of them must die. Your body must die or your spirit must die. One of them, my brother and my sister, must die. How? By having faith in God. Having faith in God. Brother John, when you believe in the Word of God, you obey the Word of God. So then when you obey the Word of God, you crucify your own feelings, your own thoughts, your own desires. You translate your own mind. You transform your own understanding by the hearing. You translate your body by believing in the Word of God and acting thereupon. Therefore, Enoch was translated by faith. Because he walked with God, had this testimony, he pleased God. He was not, for God took him. Amen. So then what is it? There is no sickness. Sickness held its power down to Calvary. Sickness held its power down to Calvary over the fleshly man. And my brother, if you've never been to Calvary, you're still a fleshly man. You're still part of the beast lineage. And if you've never been to Calvary, then sickness is still in the bloodstream. Sickness has still got power over you. And you're still subject to sickness. You say, well, Pat, I've repented of my sins. I prayed. But my brother, my sister, the Bible said, have faith in God. You have to have faith in God. You're not saved by repenting. You're not saved by fasting. You're not saved by praying. You're not saved by coming to church. You're not saved by those things, not by the putting away the filth of the flesh, but you're saved by faith in God, which is an answerable good conscience toward God. Now then, how? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you've been to Calvary, then you are the wonderful
body of the Lord Jesus in the earth. Some people refer to it as the mystic body, the resurrected body, the glorified body. Is that right? Has a glorified body got sickness? Can it be glorified and still have sickness? Is it glorified if it's got sickness? My brother, my sister, if it's glorified, that's positive proof there is no sickness. Why? Because sickness stopped at Calvary. Jesus conquered it at Calvary. And today, when I tell you in the name of the Lord that there's no such thing as diseases to the church, then I raise my hand to heaven and I raise it up as he did when he swore by him that could swear by no greater, and tell you in the name of the Lord that this is not a fictitious expression, but sickness and death and sorrow and heartache does not exist for the church. You say, then why is the church so sick? All of these things will come nigh you, all around your door, but they'll never enter your dwelling. Why is it then? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I see the church sick. You see the church well, my brother. You see the church well, but the true Christians of God have power over this and don't have to be sick. That's right. I'm not talking about the church world, but I'm talking about the true elect of God don't have to put up with those things. They don't have to have those things. You say, but the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. It does, but I say again, God delivered him out of all of them. Amen. Is that right, Brother Tom? Is that right? So then there is no sickness for the church. Is that right? We have escaped it through Jesus Christ. By the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are free. We are free from all of these things. Now then, if I had time tonight to really go into the revelation of Jesus Christ, to show you by the word of God the knowledge that he's placed in my heart, to prove to you by revelation that it don't exist, then you would be greater, and you would have a greater faith and understanding in your heart to where you could fight the devil. But with these things that I've expounded to you tonight, proves that you can be free from poverty, free from sin, free from sickness, free from all of these other things that tried to take hold of your body and your soul and your mind. I believe that we ought to maintain good works. And I preach good works for one reason, that it might give you a clear conscience that you might believe in the resurrectional power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe that if a man don't maintain good works, if a man don't live holy, then he's one that runneth as him that beateth the air, and there's nothing to his experience. Amen. His faith is a make-believe, and it's fictitious. But if you live holy, you got a right to believe. You got a right to believe. Amen. Now then, I'm going to stop here. I still haven't got over to you what I wanted to, and I knew before I come tonight I wouldn't be able to. But I believe that I've gotten over something to them that really listened and tried to understand, to see that death stopped and sickness stopped when sin was atoned for. When it was atoned for, Brother Taylor, that ended it. It came because of the penalty, sin. Because of sin, the penalty of death came, which is sickness and sorrows and heartaches. But when Jesus atoned for it, that ended it to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. Not only has it ended in your life, if you can believe it to an end at Calvary, or that is realize it don't exist for a Christian, not only has it come to an end for you, but you can also bring it to an end in another person's life. For the Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. You can also take it to another. Is that right? So then this is where we're standing tonight. We are a victorious church. We are a great and a mighty church. We are the church of the apostolic times that have power over death and over sin and over poverty and over sickness and all of the things of the devil. For he said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Let's stand together.